Well, I want you to remember the hope that's in those songs that we just sang. The subject we're going to come to today is not an easy one for anybody. It's kind of a hard message, hard on our hearts, but it's one that needs to be proclaimed. I want you to find two specific passages, Matthew chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to begin with Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28, he says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Now, for the last several weeks, couple of months, we've been talking about the political and moral crisis here in America. Well, God has heard us. Time will tell whether he'll be able to use this new person in office to turn our country around. We'll see. But we're also in a moral crisis in our homes. It's almost like a sewer pipe is broken and is spewing out filth all over our land. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6, the prophet Ezra said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities," that means our sins, "are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens." Well, thank God Ezra could still blush, because we live in a generation of unblushables. Sexual immorality is at war against the very fabric of our society. You know, God built the home before he ever instituted government. He built the home before he ever built the church. And God's plan from the beginning, and still is and always will be, one man for one woman until death do them part. God says in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But you know, the devil's aimed his heaviest artillery against your family, and he knows that if he can hurt you at home, he's really hurt you. The devil's plan is, number one, to deny and to usurp God. Number two is to debase man and to make him into nothing more than just another animal. If he can get man to thinking that there's no God, and that man is nothing more than the blind result of evolution, then morality won't exist. If those things are true, then there's no such thing as a fixed standard of right and wrong. When you destroy morality, you destroy the home. When you destroy the home, you destroy society. Nothing tears at the fabric of society more than moral impurity. When Gibbons wrote The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, he listed the reasons why Rome fell. At the top of his list was the breakdown of the home and sexual impurity. It's a sociological fact that those who treat sex lightly will also treat other human beings lightly. Now, with all of that in mind, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 5. And I'm going to give you five factors that'll help you maintain purity in your own home. And young people, I pray God will etch this in your hearts and minds in such an indelible way. Number one, remember the instruction factor. Learn about godly wisdom. Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. Solomon's talking to his son. He says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." This was written in the context of moral purity. We have families today that are falling apart due to a lack of learning, a lack of wisdom, a lack of discretion, a lack of godly knowledge. When are we going to learn? You know, we have sociology professors teaching humanistic hogwash in the schools today. We have the baby butchers ranting on behalf of Planned Parenthood today. We have the money-grabbing moguls promoting filth for profit in Hollywood. But the writer of Proverbs tells us to bow our ear to God's understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. It says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding." In simple English, anybody who practices immorality is stupid. That's what it means. If that hurts your feeling, I'll tell you what you can do. You can come up to me after the services today and apologize to me, and I'll forgive you. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away." Pretty strong words. You know, the church is here to teach you what God's standard is. The social engineers have put the Bible out of the schools today. They've replace the Word of God with their version of sex education and condoms and birth control and abortion without parental consent. And we've taken the Ten Commandments off the walls and put policemen in the halls. When are we going to learn? We need the instruction factor in godly wisdom. We also need to be aware of the deception factor. Look at Proverbs 5, verses 3 through 6. "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." Here he's talking about the satanic deception that can ruin your life. He's talking about an immoral woman. You know, Satan is way too clever than to go fishing without any bait on his hook. He'll deceive you with allurement. He'll snare you with entrapment. And he'll hold you with enslavement. In verse 3, he talks about old honey lips. Immorality can seem sweet. But in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17, it says, "The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth is filled full of gravel." There's not only the frivolity of old honey lips, there's also her flattery. Her mouth is smoother than oil. She knows how to give him the "come hither." If Solomon had been talking to his daughter instead of to his son, he would have warned her about a man's smooth lines to her and, you know, those clever pickup lines. And many people are susceptible to flattery, and especially if they don't get any of it at home. That's why we need a quiet time in the morning. You need to spend time with God before you go to work, before you go to school, or whatever. Look at Proverbs 6, verses 23 through 24. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Nothing is going to protect you more from immorality or the flirtations of those who work next to you than loading up on the Word of God early in the morning. There's the frivolity and the flattery of old honey lips, but then there's the fatality. Look at Proverbs 5, verses 4 and 5. But her end is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. What a deadly power this sin has. You know, first sin fascinates and then it assassinates. First it thrills, then it kills. It brings death to your purity. It brings death to your happiness. It brings death to your home. It brings spiritual death. It brings physical death. It brings eternal death. There's the instruction factor where we learn godly wisdom. There's the deception factor where we have to beware of Satan's snares. And then there's the protection factor. Avoid dangerous situations. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not near the door of her house. You say, well, I don't think I have to worry about that. Oswald Chambers said, an unguarded strength is a double weakness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You know, we're not told to fight sexual immorality. We're told to flee from it. Don't even walk past her house, he says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 tells us to flee youthful lusts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. Sometimes your way of escape is two legs in a hard run. Just get out of there. Saturate the place with your absence. Don't hang around that kind of literature. Don't go to that kind of movie. Don't go to those kind of places. Just don't do it. Joseph was a holy man. He's the only man in the Bible other than Jesus Christ about whom no sin was ever mentioned. Now, that's not to say he was sinless. He was not. He was a human being. But it gives you an example of the kind of holy life he lived. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and Joseph realized what she was trying to do, and he tries to leave. She grabs his garment. And he ran right out of it and fled the place. Now, some of his friends might have called him Holy Joe. Well, he was holy, and he still is. You know, some ignorant people might have said, well, now, Mrs. Potiphar, you ought not to act this way. Let's just kneel down here by the bed and pray about it. Are you kidding me? Folks, there's some things that just don't need to be prayed about. You know, if God's already given a commandment not to do it, you don't need to pray about it. Flee youthful lust. Joseph took out running. There's an old proverb that says, he who would not fall ought not to walk in slippery places. Remember the instruction factor and the deception factor and the protection factor. And then there's the destruction factor. There are deadly consequences to immorality. What are the consequences? Well, the world tells you it's an in thing to do. And we've already seen God says it's stupid. He says, you lack understanding. First, there's dissipation. Look at Proverbs 5, verses 8 through 10. Remove thy way far from her. Come not near the door of her house, lest thou give honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy laborers be in the house of a stranger. Look, sin doesn't pay, it costs. I know men and women who have lost their businesses, they've lost their homes, and they have even lost their lives because they gave in to immoral flirtations. Not only is there dissipation, there's disease. Look at Proverbs 5, verse 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. I've had people ask me over the last 30 years, is AIDS the judgment of God, friend? AIDS is the consequences of sin. And then somebody will say, well, is everyone who has AIDS a sinner? Of course not. Is every little child who gets run over by a drunk driver a drunk? Of course not. I have the answer to AIDS. I have the answer to every STD. Live by the book. The book says for there to be one man for one woman in marriage till death do them part. There's dissipation. There's disease. Then there's disappointment. In verse 12 through 13. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. You mark my word. Some of you who are hearing this message right now are going to come to a time in your life when you're going to say, why didn't I listen to the pastor? Why didn't I obey the word of God? You're going to be so, so disappointed. The things that you thought were the way to happiness and fulfillment, they weren't. Did you know that Sweden has a very liberated, quote-unquote, society? Did you know they also had the world's highest suicide rate? Satan offers high wages, but he always pays off in counterfeit money. When you get what you want, you're not going to want what you get. Next, disgrace. Verse 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. That means you'll now face public disgrace. You can only hide it for so long. One of these days your sin's going to be known. If it doesn't happen here, it's going to happen in the final judgment. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 says, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Neither hid that shall not be known. And what a disgrace that's going to be. Your wife is going to know. Your husband's going to know. Your children's going to know. Your pastor's going to know. Your church is going to know. You may be hiding it now, but sooner or later, it's going to be known. That's what verse 14 is saying. Next, there's dominion. Verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. There is no sin that enslaves like the sin of immorality. There is a dominion you're held by. There's bondage. I read a story one time about the tyrant of Syracuse. He was properly named. He went to the village blacksmith. And he says, I want to see your art. I want you to bring your forge, your anvil, your bellows. I want you to bring your hammer. I want to see you make a chain. So the blacksmith did just that. And he began to heat up the forge and blow with the bellows and then the hammer on his anvil, and finally he said, Sire, this chain is so strong that a team of horses could never pull it apart. And the tyrant of Syracuse laughed with a maniacal laugh. And he said, Guards, throw this blacksmith in the dungeon. Wrap him in that chain. Men and women are chained in the very chains that they forged on the anvil of their own disobedience and hard hearts. And then there's death. Verse 23. He shall die without instruction. There's moral death, spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. The warm flames of lust have now turned into the fiery flames of hell. You think you can live like that and then strut your way into heaven? I'm telling you, you will go straight to hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now listen to this list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate or abusers with mankind, that's homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, none of those shall inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. God said that. If you want to argue about this, don't come to me. You take 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Take it to God and say, God, you're wrong. He's not wrong. If that's your lifestyle, what was described in that list, if that is your lifestyle, you do not know the grace of God and you have absolutely no right to call yourself a child of God. You have no hope of heaven unless you're willing to repent and turn from your sin. You say, well, what about that doctrine, once saved, always saved? Let me tell you something. If you were ever truly saved, that wouldn't be your lifestyle. You wouldn't be living that way. And if you ever tried to live that way, God would take you to the woodshed and beat the living daylights out of you. That's what he does with his children. He chastises them. You wouldn't be just sitting here thinking your life is wonderful. Either you're headed for the woodshed or you're headed for hell. But there's one thing for sure. If that's your practice, if that's your lifestyle, you're sure not headed for heaven. If that's true of you, friend, you don't know the God of the Bible. You can't hold on to your sin with one hand and hold on to a righteous and holy God with the other hand. The destruction factor includes dissipation, disease, disappointment, disgrace, dominion, and death. And here's the last thing. It's the intention factor. Enjoy God's best. Number one, to have a lasting marriage. Proverbs 5, verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I told you before, I'll say it again. God's plan is for one man with one woman till death do them part. But not only is there a lasting marriage that comes as a result of that, there's a loving marriage. In verse 19, it says, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Friend, don't ever get the idea that if you follow God's law and obey God's word, that you're going to somehow miss out. Friend, if you don't obey God's word, you're going to miss out. Kids today talk about going all the way. That's the one thing they never do. They don't know the joy of a commitment, one man to one woman, till death do them part. All the way. They haven't gone all the way till they spend up every night with a crying baby and changing diapers and trying to figure out how you're going to buy food. No, you don't go all the way. Don't you know that God's laws are for your benefit, for your welfare? Every time God says, thou shalt not, he's saying, my child, I don't want you to hurt yourself. And every time he says, thou shalt, he's saying, child, help yourself to happiness. God's not trying to keep sex from you. He's trying to keep sex for you. That's why he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's why he says, flee fornication. He wants you to have a lasting and loving marriage. Young people, keep yourselves pure. Save yourself for the one that you're going to marry. You say, but everybody's doing it. Well, you'd be different. You know why? You eat your cake now, you're going to have a crummy tomorrow. It's true. Be wise. Live by God's law. A lasting marriage, a loving marriage, and then a liberating marriage. Don't let verse 22 be true of you. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. If you live by God's laws, you're not going to be bound by that. You're going to be free. You'll be free to be all that God wants you to be and free to do all that he wants you to do. You say, well, Pastor, I've already failed. Is there any hope for me? Absolutely. You remember I told you at the beginning, hold on to the hope you heard in those songs? Where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. If you have committed the sin, confess it. God will cleanse you. But true confession, don't miss this. True confession means that you will turn away from your sin. In the name of all that is good and holy and wise, get into the instruction manual. Learn God's word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, 28. That's how we started this. It says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Folks, that's what we need, is a new heart. And God is willing to give you a new heart today if you're willing to completely give yourself to him. If you're willing to completely turn your heart around and repent and live according to his instruction, like we saw in the Word today. Our musicians are going to come at this time and listen. Brother Gary gave you an opportunity at the beginning of the service. I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end. There's not going to be a better time than today to get your heart right with God. If you wait till tomorrow, you got one more day of sin to repent of and one less day to do it in, and you're presuming on God saying, I don't think he'll come today. Well, you don't know that. If he does come today, you're in a heap of trouble. There's not going to be any repenting after he comes. It's over. What are we going to sing, Gary?
174.
174. That's our hymn. Be very still. No talking. No moving about. Tune yourself in to the Holy Spirit right now. Listen for that still, small voice of God and obey it. Obey it. As we sing, you come. Thankful. And then after that, we're going to begin a series that's going to take us right up to Christmas, about our Savior, about the Christmas story. We'll have a series of messages. That's 2 weeks from now. Okay? So pray for your pastor as he gets ready for that. Okay? All right, Brother Gary.
I wonder if you lift your hand if you've got just a prayer request, and then we'll just pray for it generally. If you've got something, I do. If you've got something, okay. All right, Heavenly Father, you've seen all the hands that have been lifted, and you know what the needs are. We just pray that you would meet each and every need according to your will, that you'd help us accept the outcome for what that is, Lord, and that your name would be glorified in our hearts and our lives. We thank you for the word, Lord. Help us to walk in obedience in it and give us strength each and every day, Lord, and help us to be willing to confess when we mess up. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hands together.